Hello, friends! It's Caroline and Aaron, and it's October, so we're bringing you a special episode of Spoopy Stories from Beyond the Tower.
Before we dig in, a few Halloween opinions from your lovely hosts. So in terms of popular Halloween opinions, I actually get really into dressing up for Halloween, but on the day of, with like no prior planning whatsoever, I will end up going through my sock drawer, my scarves, absolutely anything in my apartment, and just pulling together a really fun witch costume or something that morning. And it's normally because I'm leading some sort of children's program and I want to be the fun person.
I love that. I bought a shirt from Old Navy. And it says resting witch face. And I've been wearing it a lot when I like work on the weekends.
I love it.
So I switch it off between my resting witch face and my Dobby is a free elf.
Master has presented Dobby with clothes. Dobby is free.
Oh my goodness.
That's the best.
And like I'm a labor organizer, so I'm working all the effing time. And so I find it really funny when I'm like, you know, phone banking or whatever, and the t-shirt that I'm wearing says Dobby is a free elf. Okay, so my popular Halloween opinion is that those like kind of weird, kind of funny, kind of like, oh yeah, that was a movie genre of like supernatural horror is actually a really fun genre. So movies like The Covenant, the 2006 one, I haven't seen the more recent one, but the 06 one, Queen of the Damned, those are all like pretty fun, like fun movies. Also, Queen of the Damned has an amazing soundtrack. So if you do nothing else for Halloween, please listen to that soundtrack once you're done listening to this episode. It's amazing. Like Breaking Benjamin is on that soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
yeah. Like it's a really excellent soundtrack. So what are your unpopular Halloween opinions, Erin?
Ooh, I absolutely love candy corn. I think candy corn is fantastic. And I know a lot of people really hate on candy corn. But in general, I feel like Halloween itself is just now an excuse for grownups to drink wine out of their Starbucks cups and just not watch their children as they rove around the neighborhood in really large bands of tiny humans. I know driving home after work last Halloween was terrifying. And it wasn't the costumes. It was just how many tiny children there were in the road at all times.
Yeah, I really don't know how I did not get hit by a car as a small child, just like running amok. Like in, you know, in like low light, low vision. One year I went as a cat, wore all black. My mom sprayed my hair black. No idea how I didn't get hit by a car. And candy corn is fantastic and more people should eat it, I feel like the statement is also endorsed by the American Dental Association.
Not a sponsor.
Hashtag non-spawn. Although I don't know any dentists, like, personally to either, you know, like, endorse or rebuke that statement. So my unpopular opinion is that Hocus Pocus is extremely overrated. Every year I try to watch it, right? I'm like, okay, I'm like, this is gonna be the year that I understand Hocus Pocus. So I watched it last night with my partner, and the best part about that was all of the M&Ms that I ate.
I have never seen that movie from start to finish. I've seen the beginning, I've seen the middle, and I've seen the ending, but never at the same time. And I normally fall asleep, and I don't know whether that's the quality of the movie or just how tired I am all the time.
I put a spell on you, and now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I ain't lying.
It just, like, it doesn't make any sense. I'm like, okay, so what do we have at the end of this? Right? Like what are we left with? The Sanderson sisters are no more. And this girl, this little girl, has been traumatized because her cat died twice in front of her. Like, I don't understand its depiction of like Puritan New England. Also, I don't understand the fact that witches are always coded like in this really anti-Semitic way, and then they in order to try to like get rid of the Sanderson sisters, the kids burn these women in a kiln. Also not okay. So I have like a lot of opinions about Hocus Pocus, but the most, I guess, like PC one is that it's overrated and we need to find a different Halloween movie. And may I suggest, humble suggestion, that instead of trying to find like a like enduring classic from 1993, well, hang on, I want to redo that. So we need to find a new Halloween movie. I would like to put forth Jurassic Park.
Clever girl.
Yes. It's also from 1993. Okay. It's got a little bit of horror in it. It's a Spielberg classic. I love velociraptors. I love talking about velociraptors. I feel like we could put some cat ears on a velociraptor and have a great time.
Adorable.
Right? Like, let's do it.
It would sell a million t-shirts. One of them to me. I may Google that tonight and see if I can find something.
There is one. Dinos in Comics. They have a Halloween T-Rex.
I love it. Yes. Okay. More dinosaurs, less cultural appropriation. That's my new Halloween motto.
Just like more dinosaurs everywhere. I feel like what 2020 needs is more dinosaurs.
That is a very bold and brave statement after the way this year has gone. I don't know if I would go that far, or at least I would qualify it to say like more dinosaurs in movies or more dinosaurs in literature, but maybe not just more dinosaurs.
No, I think I'm going to do it, Erin. I think I'm going to do it. You know what?
We're oh my goodness.
We're not cloning a dinosaur, and we'll probably cut all of this.
Maybe.
So, but while Erin and I cannot understand why candy corn is so polarizing, it is wonderful. We can agree that listener stories are the best stories.
So we asked listeners to send us their biggest Scooby Squad mysteries, and they obliged. Our first story was sent in to us by Heather Gottlieb, the manager of educational partnerships and volunteers at the Fraser History Museum in Louisville, Kentucky. So Heather writes, "My first boss at my museum always told me that the building was haunted. It was built in 1906 on the grounds of the city's very first settlement, right over an old bourbon warehouse that was destroyed by a tornado in the 1890s. The building, designed by the same architect as Churchill Downs, home to our city's claim to fame, the Kentucky Derby, hosted many kinds of businesses with a lot of sitting empty and abandoned in between. In 1916, the building caught on fire and the charred beams are visible throughout the museum. The building was home to a clothing factory in the 1900s. Children worked there, and eventually workers organized for their rights at the factory, a seed factory in the Great Depression, and artist studios in the 1970s. There were a few unexplained events my boss recounted that would send chills up my spine and which caused me to not want to be alone in the building after in the dark. It's also four stories and 7,000 square feet, so it's impossible to really know you are, in fact, alone in there. Once, a curator was working late in the basement and got up to get coffee, and when she came back, everything on her desk had been knocked over by an angry, unseen hand. There were several stories of things showing up on the security cameras that couldn't be explained, and my office mate showed me creepy footage that her boyfriend, who was a security guard on the night shift there, captured in our loading dock. Our preparatory always associated the persistent creepy feeling in the galleries at night with various artifacts, most notably handcuffs that had been used in the public hanging of an outlaw." Oh my God.
Oh my God.
"My own story is a little run of the mill. We have a big closed-in gallery that we use in different ways by building temporary walls. The walls are always thin, so you can always tell if the gallery is occupied, unlike the rest of the building. I work in education, so part of my duties includes making sure that the galleries are in decent shapes after school groups come through. This was almost 2 years ago, and we had an exhibit in the particular gallery about a local children's hospital that featured a large play area where they could grocery shop for toy food. It always got really messy, so we tried to check it several times a day. I went up this day in the middle of the afternoon, a pretty quiet time for us, and a great opportunity to clean things up a little. When I went in, I lingered over some panels I hadn't had a chance to read yet, savoring the silence and the stillness of the empty gallery. No one was in there. I couldn't hear talking, footsteps, or any kind of motion. I was startled by a loud crash in the children's area. I went in to find that a container of hand sanitizer had fallen off of its stand. This was before COVID, but since it was a health exhibit, we had it there. Normal stuff, I reasoned, lifting it up and hooking it up onto the stand. That's when I put two and two together. It had been securely hooked, and there was no way it could simply slip off the stand into a somewhat complicated mechanism that connected the sanitizer and its metal stand. Clearly it had been disturbed, but not by any human presence. I rushed downstairs after this to tell my boss that, although it was a little bit boring and involved hand sanitizer of all things, I finally had my own ghost story. It's actually really funny because as I type this, my coworker and I are laughing because we keep hearing music turning itself on and off in a music-related exhibit we have. Every time we go to turn it off, it turns itself on as soon as we reach our hands out to flip the switch. I wonder if there's something very close by that likes attention.
I feel like this is like a real Scooby mystery.
Scooby Dooby Doo!
I love this.
No, and I feel like you're gonna find that, like, it's someone, like, a board member or something with, like, a remote control and who just, like, has nothing better to do and enjoys...
But sit there and watch the camera.
Yes, and just, like, enjoys freaking the staff out and making this, like, ghost story thing happen. Because...
No, but I feel like the hand sanitizer is so timely. I really do enjoy that this one has hand sanitizer.
I like that the hand sanitizer was, like, the portent of, like, this weird music stuff. So, like, I don't know. Like, my money is definitely on, like, board community member with the remote control doing this.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, like, I'm not superstitious. I'm just, like, a little stitious. And that's why I call these, like, Scooby mysteries. Like, I feel like we're going to find that someone is doing this just to mess with people. This next story was sent in to us by Teresa DeSico of the Francis Tavern Museum in downtown Manhattan. Teresa writes, I'm currently a museum and visitor services associate at the Francis Tavern Museum in downtown Manhattan. The structure that currently sits at 54 Pearl Street was built in 1719, but has gone through major renovations throughout the years. I mean, it's 300 years old. I would be surprised if it didn't have a little work done. A 300-year-old history. The site has seen many events from George Washington's farewell speech in 1783 to a grim murder-suicide in 1798. Yikes. With such a long history, the tavern does have an eerie vibe to it, especially when closing time comes around. Let me tell you, it's never fun to turn off the lights at the tavern alone.
Oh my god.
There's a particularly dark hallway above our flag gallery where the major light switches are not so conveniently located. One day, my colleague brought in a ghost reader, and we decided to test out the spooky hallway. Guys. Anyway. As we walked through the hallway, which seemed like forever, the ghost reader was eerily quiet. As we got towards the end of the hallway, I was starting to get a little brave and called out, "Hello!" thinking nothing was there.
Teresa!
Teresa, why? Boy, was I wrong. A moment later, the reader went off at its highest frequency. We rushed downstairs and back into the staff kitchen, and this was easily one of the creepiest moments of my museum career. Teresa, that is very creepy. I'm glad you got out of there. So, Teresa gave us a second story. And this story involves a museum that Teresa worked at a few years back, also in New York. But we're not going to get the name of the site. Because, you know, like a lot of places, it doesn't want to be associated with paranormal activity.
Ghosts can be bad PR.
Ghosts are bad PR. But great movie, Ghostbusters 2, did not get the good PR that it needed. So, while Teresa was giving a tour, a visitor stated that they sensed something had happened in the bedroom. Okay. Research up until that point didn't lead Teresa to think anything happened there. But, you know, told the guest that she'd look into it. Later on, I told my coworker about the incident. She went on to tell me about a full body skeleton that was found in the floorboards of the bedroom in the 1920s. So I guess something did happen in that bedroom. Nobody knows how it got there and why it was there. Doing some deeper research about the site, I eventually found a newspaper article about the discovery of the mysterious skeleton from the 20s. Creepy. Teresa, I agree with you. That is extremely creepy. And a full skeleton.
That's a big deal.
And how many floorboards? It's like a lot of floorboards.
Like, fully articulated or just all together? Like, that's my question.
And I also want to know, how would you do that? Like, how would you get a skeleton under the floorboards? And, why was it there? Was this part of, a weird, party house?
Like, are we hiding a body or are we, hiding our medical specimen? Is this a murder? Or just a really bad study date.
Or option three, it's a Scooby mystery. It's a Scooby mystery, and we found the person behind the Scooby mystery.
So our third story tonight is from Lori Sanderlin, now the manager of the North Carolina Maritime Museum at Southport. She sent in a story about a spooky encounter she had when she was working her first public history job, Fisher State Historic Site. We'll let Lori tell it here.
So I guess my most spooky experience as a curator started very early on in my career when I was working at Fort Fisher State Historic Site. It was 1999, and I was going to give my first lecture at the Federal Point Historical Society about Major General William Henry Chase Whiting, who was the commander of the Cape Fear District during the Civil War. So I was at the fortification waiting to drive over to Carolina Beach, and I was a little nervous about having to speak for the first time. And so I was sitting in the library going over my notes, and the phone rang, which is very odd because it was after hours. And I picked up the phone and said, thank you for calling Fort Fisher. And the gentleman on the other line said, I don't know why I'm calling so late. I just had this funny feeling that I needed to call right now. And I said, okay, how can I help you? And he said, my name is Robert Whiting, and I am the great-great-nephew of General Whiting, and I just wanted to call and touch base. And I said, oh, that's very funny, because I'm just about to go and leave and give a talk about your relative, and I was a little nervous about it. And he said, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And so I got off the phone with him, I hung up, and I went out the back door of the visitor center, and I looked out over the fort, and the sun was setting, and I said, okay, I get it. And I locked up, got in my car, drove to Federal Point, and gave my lecture that evening.
Alrighty, and I do have my own spooky story to share. I was giving a tour in one of our historic buildings at work last year, so before COVID. And it's a historic house, this part of our museum. And I was walking a group of visitors through how this family lived and sort of what the time period was like. And I positioned myself staring into their parlor with the group in front of me and the stove behind me. And I was looking at this piano, and I made a comment about how this family must have loved music because, we had the piano, we had a banjo, we had a few other instruments. And as the words left my mouth, a pot lid lifter flew from shoulder height behind me and hit the floor. This pot lid lifter had not been stored at shoulder height behind me. It would have been stored at just about hip height on a shelf. There is absolutely no way that it flew all by itself. There was nothing there to give it that trajectory. And I was too far to have bumped into it. But I just, the show must go on in museum education. I picked it up off the floor and said, well, guess they don't like music today. Let's move on. And I took them to our next building. But as Caroline knows, the site I work at, we do have a lot of really spooky stuff that goes on. So I used to stay behind and lock up after meetings, after the rest of the staff had gone on. And when I was the only one in the museum, I would hear whole conversations going on upstairs with what sounded like a woman and two men. And I could never make out the words, but there were definite words being said upstairs. You could hear the tones of the voices. I was actually at work the other day alone in the building, And I could swear I heard someone run up the stairs, down the stairs, up the stairs, down the stairs. And I looked, and once again, I was the only one in the building with both doors locked. It's never felt threatening. It's just felt like somebody needs a little extra attention, and I completely understand that. So sometimes the ghosts at work and I listen to podcasts. Not this one, because after Caroline and I get through with episodes, we typically don't want to hear them again. And we say that with love. But yeah, so that's my spooky story.
That is quite a spooky story. You know, I like that you're like, you know what, ghost, maybe you just need someone to hang out with you. Maybe you feel
alone.
Don't worry about it. We're going to listen to a podcast. It's going to be fun.
During the holiday season, sometimes it's Christmas music. Whatever they need. They've never told me to turn it off, so.
I feel like the Christmas music would make it angry. That might just be, like, how I feel about Christmas music. Maybe we'll do a Christmas one where I just, like, unleash all of my unpopular Christmas opinions on the world.
We could do one for every holiday. Listeners, please let us know how you feel about this episode. Oh my goodness. So thank you so much, you guys, for tuning into this special episode of Scholars Beyond the Tower. We do have a lot of great stuff coming up for you very soon. We are downshifting into a schedule where we're only going to release one full episode or so every month until January, probably. Caroline and I have both absolutely been slammed with work and schoolwork lately. So we are creating that content for you, but it's going to be spaced out a little further than it used to be.
Definitely. It's not because we don't love you guys, and it's not because we've abandoned the project. We are just incredibly busy people. And
much like we tell you to take care of your mental health, scholars, we're taking care of ours.
Yeah, exactly. We are trying to take care of ourselves by recording and editing less frequently. So it's not like the project isn't ongoing. We're still recording. We're still talking to folks. If you want to be on the podcast, send us an email and check out our website. It is this like beautiful thing that my partner made for us. I feel like it is the prettiest part of Scholars Beyond the Tower. So definitely go check us out.
Absolutely.